latter pastimes or later pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. 83 to 87. Well, that's different than what's on the board. On the book here, it's right.
87.
Huh?
Number
87. Okay. Radhika Vanmataya Che Udhava Darshane
Radhika Vanmataya Che Udhava Darshane
Udgurna Pralapatay Che Prabhura Ratridine
Udgurna Pralapatay Che Prabhura
Ratridine Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya
Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna
Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Hare Yaichi Udhava Darshani Udgurna Pralapatai Chi Prabhura Ratridine
Udgurna Pralapatai
Chi Prabhura Ratridine Radhika
Unmada
The Madness of Srimati Radharani
Yaichi
Just like
Udhava,
Darshane,
in
seeing Udhava.
Udgurna
Pralapa, talking inconsistently in madness. Taiche, similarly. Prabhura, Lord Chaitanya. Ratridine, night and day. Translation. Just as Srimati Radharani talked inconsistently with the bumblebee in the presence of Uddhava, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his ecstasy talked crazily and inconsistently day and night. Please repeat. Just as Srimati Radharani
talked
inconsistently with a bumblebee
in
the presence of Uddhava,
Sri
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his ecstasy
talked
crazily and inconsistently
day and night.
Srila Prabhupada's purport. This unmad, madness, is not ordinary madness. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu talked inconsistently, almost like a crazy fellow, he was in the transcendental ecstasy of love. In the highest transcendental ecstasy, there is a feeling of being enchanted in the presence of the enchanter. When the enchanter and the enchanted become separated, mohan, or bewilderment, occurs. When so bewildered due to separation, one becomes stunned. And at that time, all the bodily symptoms of transcendental ecstasy are manifested. When they are manifest, one appears inconceivably crazy. This is called transcendental madness. In this state, there is imaginative discourse, and one experiences emotions like those of a madman. The madness of Srimati Radharani was explained to Krishna by Uddhava, who said, "My dear Krishna, because of extreme feelings of separation from you, Srimati Radharani is sometimes making her bed in the groves of the forest, sometimes rebuking a bluish cloud, and sometimes wandering about in the dense darkness of the forest. Thus, she has become like a crazy woman." Om jnana tibandasya jnanam jana shalakaya chakshurun militam jena tasmai shri vivena. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Shri Vasya Guru Bhakta
Vrinda.
Radhika Umhadya Che Udavadashane Udkurna Pralapatai Che Prabhudaratri Dine. Wine or intoxication is sometimes called mud. And also someone who's intoxicated is also like that. Unmad means someone who's very, very intoxicated, or intoxication means like that, madness. Radhika Unmad. One chapter of Rupa Goswami's Lalita Madhava is called Unmata Radhika. Maddened Srimati Radharani. And here Srila Prabhupada points out that the symptoms of madness are that a person talks and it doesn't make sense what he says. It doesn't make sense. Making sense means it doesn't add up to the ordinary senses. It isn't logical, it's not consistent, it's not really in keeping with time, place, and circumstance. It's just out of, both out of character, out of context. And just as Srimati Radharani also used to exhibit that type of madness, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, particularly in the last 12 years of his pastimes, he was very much absorbed in this mood of transcendental madness. First 6 years he traveled, first 6 years of the last 24. Chaitanya's Leela is like that, divided into his Adi Leela, when he's living in Navadvip, Sridhar Mayapur, until age 24. Then when he goes to Jagannath Puri for the next 6 years, he travels South India, Vrindavan, North Bengal, Ramakeli, and so on. And then the following 6 years, he's relating and relating to the devotees around him and experiencing the symptoms of transcendental bliss, Sankirtan, Rathyatra. The last 12 years, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu becomes more introverted and more incomprehensible to all but his most intimate associates like Ramananda Roy and Swarup Damodari. And these are some of the symptoms of that incomprehensible behavior. But this madness, as Srila Prabhupada said, is not ordinary, which also means that someone who talks like a madman doesn't necessarily mean that he's on the transcendental position. So we see that, for instance, Shukadeva Goswami was, and Maharaj Vrishabhdev, they didn't dress. Maharaj Vrishabhdev in his latter times, they didn't dress. They were also not understood by people. They behaved like avadhuta, or a person who has no real connection with the outside world. Sometimes they appear to be unclean, and their language was incomprehensible, and sometimes it was strange. Yet devotees, sometimes they call a devotee who's dirty, unkept, avadhuta, which is a real offense to the real avadhutas. In other words, being dirty is not the qualification of an avadhuta. If someone's so absorbed in love with God that he doesn't think about cleansing his body, that may be one of the symptoms of someone who is an avadhuta, But the converse isn't true, that therefore everyone who's dirty is an avatuta, or every devotee who's dirty or disorganized. Or so one needs to rather judge things yatraya lakshanam proktam, by their lakshana, by their qualification. And when the internal qualification is there, and simultaneously that type of external behavior, then one should relate to things accordingly. There's a chapter in Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 47, 46, probably 10th canto, when Uddhava has come to visit Vrindavan. Krishna sent Uddhava to Vrindavan to relay message. That's message, and that whole process is described by Rupa Goswami in this Uddhava Sandesh, a very wonderful book that actually he wrote before he even met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wrote that while he was already living in Ramakeli. And when he was still in the employ of Nawab Hussain Shah. And furthermore, Lord Krishna wanted Uddhava to understand what spontaneous devotional service was in the wake of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. He wanted him to get trained, particularly in the association of the Brajbasis, and more specifically in those of the gopis. When Krishna, in Bhagavatam we read, when Krishna, he holds Uddhava's hand, and then he tells him, listen, I want you to go to Vrindavan. And then in a half of a shloka, he says, meet my mother and father and the inhabitants of Vrindavan and give them my love. And then in another 10 and a half verses, he just talks about the gopis. And that's sort of the proportion that indicates the proportion of Krishna's absorption in Vrindavan and the Brijbasis. The Brijbasis get a mention. His parents are specifically thought about, and the gopis are generally his constant meditation. And that's sort of the transcendental nature of that relationship, which doesn't make any one better than the other. It just indicates a type of transcendental distinction. So when Uddhava finally came, and Krishna not only sent him with this sandesh, but he also told him how to go. He gave him a particular path that he should go. He should go first north through Mathura, and he didn't send him by the direct road. He sent him north through Mathura, and then via Chatikar. He sent them to Nandagram via Chatikar. If you go to Mathura now, you go straight. You can go much quicker if you go through Govardhan. But he sent them north. Chatikar is where you turn off the road to the left on the road leading to Agra. And you go towards Vrindavan, which we call Bhaktivedanta Swami Marg, and right on the corner at the left, that's called Chatikar. And that's where Krishna lived for one third of his time there. Anyway, and then he gives a roundabout route going through different places of his pastimes. Krishna's obviously just absorbed. He's actually absorbed in different lila. And Uddhava's going through this contour way of going there. And then finally Uddhava arrives, and he stays for quite a long time. Some say 8 months, some say 10 months. But he stayed for a long time in Vrindavan. He's greeted by Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda, and stays there on the ground for the night, and then next day the gopis greet him. And Shukadeva Goswami really sort of summarizes all the events. So he gives the message to the gopis, and then then Sukadeva Goswami just says one gopi starts talking to a bumblebee. And that one gopi is Srimati Radharani. That's clear from the statement here. Talked inconsistently with a bumblebee. Udghurna pralapita Sripravarira Tridhina. Talking inconsistently in madness. Srila Prabhupada is inserting that this is to the bumblebee. It's not in the shloka itself. It just says that she talked inconsistently. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that talk is actually analyzed later on. There are 10 different types of pralapas. Prajalpa is one of those 10 different types of pralapa, these inconsistent, crazy talks that reflect different types of, why are there 10 different types of mad way of talking? Because they're representing 10 different types of ecstasy that Srimati Radharani is feeling. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur analyzes this, and I don't remember who, Rupa Goswami, in his Nilamani Chakra, Nilamani, what's it called? Book. Ujjvala Nilamani. And Ujjvala Nilamani, then he describes these 10 different types of pralapa, mad talks, and they correspond to certain types of emotion. Srimati Radharani speaks with the bee, and sometimes she's angry. So then she speaks, and there's a type of talk that corresponds to the anger. Sometimes when the bee disappears, and it comes back, then she thinks that she's offended the bee, so she's remorseful. And the talk reflects that type of ecstasy in remorse. Anyway, like that, Srimati Radharani was speaking with this bee, and when already the gopi started to speak, Uddhava was really quite overwhelmed. When he met Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, he was quite overwhelmed, because he tried to pacify them, saying that don't feel separation from your sons. He's talking about Krishna and Balaram. He says they're the cause and the effect of this material creation, therefore they're everywhere. And Nanda Maharaj said, I don't know what you're talking about. They may be God. We don't dispute the fact that they're God. But there are sons. And they couldn't, Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda, they really couldn't quite relate to this fact that they could relate to the fact that Krishna is everywhere by his potencies, but they wanted to see him in person. That didn't jive with them. And Uddhava, whose devotional service was something like that. It was mixed with this Aishwarya, with this concept that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Brijvasis, they also know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but generally they're not relating to him as such, but they're just relating to him as their son, or their friend, or their beloved. And by this time, Mother Yashoda was blind, because the Nectar of Devotion says that she went blind from crying after Krishna. And Nanda Maharaj, he also exhibited this type of craziness. Again, Nectar of Devotion, there Srila Prabhupada quotes, Rupa Goswami is giving different quotes, how Mother Yashoda is talking to him, what kind of father are you? That you just took your son and you left him there in Mathura and abandoned him, and you came back without him. And sometimes Nanda Maharaj would feel the burden of those type of chastisement, because he was responsible for not bringing Krishna back. And the Brijbasis held him responsible. Although he still remained king, they didn't dethrone him for that. But But then sometimes on the Maharaj would reply, what are you talking about? He's here. He's sitting here right in front of you. Why can't you see him? Your son's not gone anywhere. He's right here with us. So that was also his madness of separation, which was experienced also by all the Vrijbhasis. But when Uddhava then finally, when he saw Srimati Radharani, then that was like, he understood that I don't really understand anything about Krishna consciousness, not about this kind of Krishna consciousness. So he stayed there, and in the period of time that he stayed there, he was speaking about Krishna, which was an interesting thing. He was talking to the Vrijbhasis about Krishna. The Vrijbhasis had a lot to say about Krishna, but they weren't the ones who were talking, they were just listening. And of course that was Krishna's instruction, you talk to them, you remind them about me. And of course, what was he talking about Krishna? Tava Katha Amritam. He was talking about Krishna in Mathura, which is a different type of Krishna than Krishna was experiencing in Vrindavan. And sometimes people say that we shouldn't even talk about Krishna in Mathura or Dwarka because that's a lesser thing. But it was that lesser thing, that the so-called lesser thing, that the inhabitants of Vrindavan lived off of for 8-10 months. In other words, they didn't care whether Krishna's pastimes were in Vrindavan or elsewhere. They were happy to hear about Krishna anyway, as long as they were hearing about Krishna. And by seeing how they were responding to this Tava Katha Amritam, Uddhava actually, when he departed, he said, you're all my gurus, and I learned the topmost knowledge from you. They treated him as superior because he's the disciple of Brihaspati. He was Krishna's foremost minister, mantra. Bhagavatam uses the word something, mantra param or mantra shesh, mantra sheshtra. Here mantra doesn't mean maha mantra, mantri, like minister.
Pradhan mantri.
So that's Pradhan mantri or mantra, Pradhan mantri or mantri
shesh. Pradhan mantri means prime minister.
Yeah. Or mantri sheshtra, or he was the best amongst all of the Krishna's foremost minister. So he was a brahmana, they were vaishyas. Still he considered they were guru because they were teaching him about this extraordinary type of loving affection. And then that was Krishna made, that was Uddhava's mission, because Uddhava was a brahmana. Uddhava was a highly exalted person. So others would listen to him. In Vrijbhasis go, people wouldn't take them so seriously. So he didn't make them. You learn from them, and then what you learned from them, you teach the rest of the world. And that was Uddhava's mission. Later on, in the 12th canto, 11th canto, that becomes apparent. Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was in the same group. Radha Krishna Panyavikriti Aladi Nishakirasma. So he's in that same mood of Srimati Radharani. And here now Srila Prabhupada nicely explains that in the highest transcendental ecstasy, which is called Mahabhav, I'm saying that, Prabhupada says, in the highest transcendental ecstasy, there's a feeling of being enchanted in the presence of the enchanter. This enchanted, this is called pranaya. So there's prema, sneha, pranaya, rag, anurag, bhav, mahabhav. And there's man in there as well. So when someone's completely enchanted, enchantment in that sense almost means that you lose your identity.
you become so much absorbed, enchanted. It's just like when someone becomes bewitched. So you become so much bewitched by the other person that you sort of lose your identity. When Ramananda Roy finished his talks to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, "Tell me more." And he says, "I don't know if you'll be happy to hear this." Anyway, on the last part of the thing, Lord Chaitanya closes his mouth with the first part, then he's quoting his own Jagannath Balabha Nataka. And he says, "When we first met, then there was this enchantment, and we didn't know who was the beloved and who was the lover." This is sort of a oneness. And that word oneness is also used. It's not the my-body oneness, but it's the oneness when both the lover and beloved, just merge into the feeling of love. They don't lose their identity, but they merge in that, and love becomes so intense they don't quite know who's Krishna, who's Radha. Yeah, Calvary boys come to that stage, Mother Yashoda also, but particularly it's experienced by the gopis because the nature of the relationship is such. So when they become enchanted, and then at this stage, if they then become separated, then when the enchanter and enchanted, in other words, when they lose their sensual identity, then they become separated, then moham or bewilderment occurs. And this is how this madness comes about. Who am I, and are we together, or are we separated? And then this becomes a cause for all of these types of discussions, where sometimes it appears Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would appear that he's Srimati Radharani, sometimes it would appear that he's Krishna, and sometimes it would appear that he's someone else. In other words, he loses the sense of identity and becomes so much absorbed in the bhav. You become so much absorbed in the feelings of love. And then when so bewildered due to separation, one becomes stunned. And at that time all the bodily symptoms of transcendental ecstasy are manifest. These are called ashtasattvika vikara. And when manifest, one appears inconceivably crazy. This is called transcendental madness. This madness can be experienced to a certain degree by ordinary or by living entities such as us. It is experienced to a higher degree by eternal associates, but its ultimate limit is experienced only by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srimati Radharani. In terms of extent or degree, others cannot experience it like that. So Radha Bhava Jyoti Suvartam, this is the Radha Bhava that Krishna is wanting to be absorbed in. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is tasting these types of extraordinary things, and he's talking crazily and inconsistently Ratri, Dine, day and night. At night with Ramananda Roy, Swarup Damodar, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was really, really absorbed. And at that time it was a planned session. During the daytime in Kirtan, in Sankirtan, he would lose himself due to the influence of the chanting of the holy names. But he would try to get control over himself. In order to, because it's generally not the type of thing that one reveals to anadikari. There's this word adikar, and then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says anadikari, with someone who doesn't have adikar, because generally then people will not understand. They'll misunderstand what is, and when we read some of these symptoms of ecstasy, saliva foaming from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mouth, and foaming, and blood oozing from the pores of his skin. I mean, it's even frightening just to think about it. Those who don't have adhikar, then they misunderstand all these things. They become confused what's actually going on here. And but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was absorbed, and this is what is his own mission, his internal mission. He came to experience this thing because, and I think last time we were talking about that, Lord Krishna cannot, in his position as the beloved, experience what the lover experiences, the devotee's experience. So here in this condition of being the topmost devotee, he's experiencing these type of transcendental ecstasies. So he talked crazily and inconsistently day and night. This quote is probably found in Padyavali. My dear Krishna, Uddhava, then he finally came back and he reported what was happening in Vrindavan. So he gave the report about how Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj reacted to the message he sent to them, the message that he sent to the cowherd boys, message that he sent to Gopi, Srimati Radharani. Now ultimately his purpose was, because after when he was ready to go, then the inhabitants of Vrindavan told him, said, you have to bring Krishna back. And Uddhava promised him that. He said, I'll bring Krishna back. So this, my dear Krishna, because of extreme feelings of separation from you, Srimati Radharani is sometimes making her bed in the grove of the forest, sometimes rebuking a bluish cloud, and sometimes wandering about in the dense darkness of the forest. Thus she has become like a crazy woman. So he's reporting, and he's trying to induce, Krishna already has such obsessive feelings of separation from Vrindavan. And Uddhava is trying to invoke those feelings to get Krishna to go back. And of course Krishna does go back. Krishna does go back to Vrindavan. And but then he leaves. And that, therefore this type of meeting and separation is the nature of transcendental life or spiritual life. It's what nourishes love of God. Separation, because we have this concept of perfection as being a static state, but it's not a static state, it's a dynamic state, ecstatic. It's a dynamic state and it always grows. So how does perfection grow? Because generally you think of perfection as something that you achieve and that's it. So perfection grows by this type of dynamic, by this constant separation and meeting. And it keeps increasing the nature of loving emotions, which are really inconceivable. They're inconceivable to us because neither they can be conceived of. Inconceivable means you can't think of them. That means your mundane mind can't fathom it. It requires a spiritual mind in order to be able to conceive of it. And it requires a spiritual body in order to be able to experience it. So, inconceivable. And my train of thought. What was before that that I mentioned? Before spiritual mind, spiritual body. Yeah, just before that. Yes, yes. So the nature of this, How does that love keep increasing? And that's how perfection keeps developing, by this dynamic. So yes, we have a static concept of perfection because matter is static and the effect of matter is to make us have limited conceptions of unlimited things. So, but it's always increasing, and it increases, and that's how Krishna organizes his pastimes. He's never with any one person. He always is with them for some time, just like in the morning. He leaves, and he leaves his parents, he leaves the gopis, and he's with the cavalry boys. So they're separated, and that separation causes this type of intense exchange that Srila Prabhupada here is so nicely describing. And then finally again, when they meet, when he comes back, then there's meeting, but there's separation and meeting, and it's a constant thing going on, and this thing constantly keeps rising and rising, and it just increases and increases eternally. The intensity and nature, and because it's always increasing, therefore it's always crossing over fresh boundaries. So just as Prabhupada gives this word, what is that word, nava, that Krishna's ever, nava, that long word in the one of the first chapters of the Krishna book, that Krishna's freshness, beauty, love is always ever increasing. Nava, nava, huh? No, no, nava yoga means that he's just ever youthful. Anyway, it's in the beginning of one of the chapters of Krishna book. Longer Sanskrit word, it's not the nava yoga. So it's always increasing like that, and because love increases, therefore that gives the ability for Krishna, and of course that's how Krishna also increases in terms of his potencies, in terms of his beauty, and so on. Everything is all connected like that, and that's what's being described here. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also coming to tell us. He's experiencing it personally. What he's experiencing is beyond our realm of experience, but an experience that is within our realm is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is prompting us for. And it's our goal, it's our duty, the idea, you know. Love of God is beyond me, it's not something that I'll ever achieve. It's like, you know, someone comes and gives you a gift and you just throw it back in their face. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, Krishna Prema Padayate. So it's our business to take it and to become qualified to take it. Adhikari. So one has to cultivate and develop that adhikara by sincere service and surrender. And through the process of chanting Hare Krishna, but by reading these things and hearing these things, then the desire will awaken in the heart. Devotees who read Chaitanya Charitamrita, they won't say such things that I'll never achieve love of God. They'll say, even if I never achieve it, still I have that insuppressible hope that someday I will be able to get it, because it's such a wonderful thing, because it's such a great treasure that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to share. Lord Chaitanya wants it. That's why he came. He wanted everyone to get this opportunity of tasting what the Brijbasis tasted. He didn't send everyone. He just sent Uddhava. Didn't send Arjuna to Vrindavan. They went. They lived in Kamyavan for quite some time. And that way they also had, but it wasn't because Krishna sent them there, it was part of their wandering, but Krishna sent Uddhava. So Krishna sent Uddhava, and Krishna is now in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's also giving us the same thing. He wants us to go there. It's our duty, therefore, to actually go there, but one, we have to be qualified to do that. And that increases Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pleasure, Krishna's pleasure. If there are more Brijbasis, then there's more people to love him with that type of unique affection, and that's pleasing to him, and that's what he wants. He wants that increased reciprocation because he has this, he is also unmata, he has this insatiable desire to love and to be loved. And he wants more. He wants more of it from the same people, and he wants more of it from more people. And therefore Prabhupada starts off Krishna book like that in the introduction, that this Krishna consciousness movement is meant to bring living entities into Krishna's rasa dance. And that's a pretty far out statement, just from the introduction. That's how Prabhupada starts off. So therefore, being true to Srila Prabhupada, that's our business. We can't do it prematurely, but we should do it. And that should be our life's goal, that somehow or another, Asha Bhanda, I have this hope that I will also be able to go there somehow, by the grace of the Vaishnavas, by the grace of the Guru, by the grace of Krishna. It's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire, so it can certainly happen. Anyway, I won't let you continue. Maybe we can ask Govinda Maharaj to say a few words, because he's sitting here. He also likes to hear and talk about these topics. Unmata Radhika. Can you say something, Govinda Maharaj, so I can record it? Say a little more.
Yeah, your class is very beautiful. And when you were talking about
you're speaking about this other lady having gone blind from crying, and how sometimes the Rajabasis, they would chastise Nanda Maharaj, although they wouldn't give up on him as being their king because they were loyal to him. And that made me think of the instance from Brihad Bhagavatamritam when I guess it was after Krishna and Balaram they killed Chanura and Mustika, and then they went over and Krishna killed Kamsa. And then they went back to see Nanda Maharaj and to send him back to Vrindavan. And Krishna and Balaram apparently had, when they killed Kamsa, they were like dipping into Kamsa's treasury boxes, and they had all these, you know, like very beautiful ornamental, you know, like bracelets and necklets and this and that and the other. And then they took that to Nanda Maharaj and they told him, they said, please you go and I will return very soon. But you take these as gifts for the Vrajabasis. And Andamar didn't know what to do, but he accepted those bracelets, so forth and so on. And then he went back, and the Vrajabasis were all waiting, and they were saying, where is Krishna? And he said, well, he's in Mathura, but he's promised that he will come very soon. But he has sent these ornaments as gifts for you. And when he took the ornaments out to get to the Vrajabasis, they just they went wild, you know, and they were just chastising, you know, Nanda Maharaj and said, "We don't want ornaments, we want Krishna. What have you done? You've left Krishna behind, and you expect us to be satisfied by just accepting some gold ornaments or this or that or the other. We want Krishna. He is our life and soul. That's all we want. We want Krishna." And then Nanda Maharaj, he became so overwhelmed and so sad that so depressed over the situation that he just disappeared from the scene, and he went into hiding for some days. But then he realized that he had to manage the kingdom, so he came back out, and because he was a good ruler and people were faithful to him, they still, you know, were loyal to him. But they said, we don't want bangles, we want Krishna. And then he said, "But look, you know, Krishna is one of our people. And Krishna is, you know, he has given the instruction, you know, that you all should accept these, so put them on." Even the Bhagavas is trying to put the ornaments and the bangles on. But their hearts were just torn because Krishna wasn't there. I just saw that one point. And Nanda Maharaj was so depressed. And then you mentioned the point where Uddhava was speaking to Nanda Maharaj, and Srila Gogovinda Maharaj, when he would speak about that, then he would be speaking how Nanda Maharaj, he saw Uddhava, and he said, he began by saying, "It is good that the demon Kamsa has been killed. That's a nice thing. And it's good that Ugrasen has been placed back on the throne." He said, "But does our son still think of us? How is my boy?" And then Uddhava started to reply, and he started saying, "Bhagawan is doing quite well, and Bhagawan is doing this, and Bhagawan is doing that." And Mathura, and then Nanda Maharaj said, "Bhagawan, why are you calling my son Bhagawan?" He said, "He's not Bhagawan." He said, "Lord Narayana is Bhagawan. My son's not God." And then he said, "You're trying to tell me that little boy that used to drag the pillow for me to sit on, or used to carry my lota full of water, or he used to drag my wooden shoes, you know, for me to wear. You're trying to say this is a Bhagawan? He's not Bhagawan, he's my son. My son's not God." And then Srila Gogovinda Maharaj would say, and then he would pause, and he'd look up and he'd say, "But what if he is Bhagawan?" And then he said, "Then it means not only that I've lost my son, but I've lost my God as well." And then he would just become overwhelmed and totally depressed.
Nitya Nava Navayamana. This means that one can go on when you chant and hear something and never feel tired, but remain always fresh and eager to hear more and more. So Krishna's also like that. You start with Krishna. It's Nitya Nava Navayamana. Then Madhudeva is leaving. Then Madhudeva is leaving. Then
take this over.
Mandamaraj something which says like karma beer, karma manyanam. And there's one of the translation here. He says, Prabhupada says, by the will of the Supreme Authority and according to the results of our work, we may take our worth anywhere. It doesn't matter where we are born. But our only prayer is that we may simply be engaged in Krishna consciousness. Karma beer, manyanam. That wherever we wander in the universe, that somehow or another we always get Krishna's association. So it's very interesting that they consider themselves as conditioned souls bound by their karma, and that they have the absorption of, and that's what makes it extraordinarily nice, extraordinarily sweet, that they're not playing the role of liberated souls. They're playing the role of conditioned souls. And Jiva Goswami in his Gopal Champu, he makes many extraordinary statements, but he makes this extraordinary statement that one is, he says that when Krishna appears in this world, the nature of the pastime within the material world is so pleasing that not only does he forget his divinity, but he actually identifies with being a conditioned soul. And this other thing that he says is that because of the nature of this Bhoma Leela is so sweet, that Yoga Maya manifests the spiritual world to resemble the material world.
Really? So
you
said that nothing not only does he forget his divinity?
But he just thinks he's an ordinary person. It's one thing you forget that you're God, but it's something else that you identify with being, I'm an ordinary cowherd. I'm
so
like,
is that the thing that
Sarvagya means all knowing, and simultaneously he is another word where he's completely overwhelmed.
Mugdata.
But Mugdata is in other words, he's really thinking that I'm an ordinary cowherd person. And I'm in this material world where people are like that. They're conditioned souls, and I'm also here as a result of my karma. Because it makes the nature of the exchange so unique. It's so devoid of any sense of, one thing is devoid of the divinity, but the other is identifying with ordinariness.
Because there's always the question when he engages in these leelas, is it as if he's playing a role as a reciprocation, or is he actually lost in the role and fully identifying?
This indicates his complete loss. Although sometimes Srila Prabhupada says he's just reciprocating with devotees, which is not contradicted because he's reciprocating, but in his reciprocation, he gets completely lost. It's not that he's just reciprocating as Bhagavan, but he gets lost.
Yeah, one aspect of that being lost is that verse, it could be a definition. not a definition, but when Amananda Roy is speaking to Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya asks him what is the perfection of life and the process of attaining it, so then Amananda Roy starts explaining different things, and Lord Chaitanya says, this is external, or this is external, or this is external. Tell me something else. Then he comes to that verse about reading the prayer for Brahma.
Jnana. Oh.
Yeah.
Jnana prayasam udapasyanate.
Yeah. So he's, what is it? He says, give up the useless impersonal process of speculation.
Yeah.
And he says, not necessary to change one's position in society. And then he says, hear from realized soul. And then he says, Krishna, who is Ajita, meaning
this becomes Jita.
He's unconquerable, but he becomes Jita, he becomes conquered. And he becomes conquered by the love. I guess the love that is awakened in the heart of the person who is always hearing about the Lord.
Hmm.
Yeah. And Krishna can't, I guess he can't resist that, so he becomes really
submerges in it.
But I was talking this one time, not long ago, but I forgot that argument that Krishna Chakravarti makes. And he says he's what is it, Sarvajna?
And Mugdata.
And Mugdata. And when he's Mugdata, when he's like, when he's just completely forgetful that he's God and identifying.
He's always Mugdata.
Okay, so Mugdata.
Right.
So then the question that he presents is like everybody in this world is always praying to him. Correct? So when he's forgetful that he's God, who's like on the receiving end of those prayers, or who's hearing those prayers?
Then he says he is. He is when his achintya, his inconceivable potencies, because we only think that a person, if he forgets everything, he can't be remembering everything. But he's not like that. He can be doing both simultaneously. He can be completely Mugdata and he can be completely Sarvajna. Because he's God. That's what it means to be God. And this is what it means to be a tiny jiva. It's inconceivable how simultaneous. We can think, okay, if now he's this, now he's that. When he's like this, then he's not like that. And when he's like that, then he's not like this. But then he's both simultaneously, which are mutually exclusive characteristics. Achintya. And not only is he, you know, in this Prabhunanda Saraswati Thakur says that in Vrindavan somewhere, Krishna, on the cover of the original Bhagavatam, the way Prabhupada had it drawn, you see that there are many Krishnas there, sitting in different groups. So it's not only that he's just Mugdata once, he's Mugdata many, unlimited number of times, because he's not enough for him just to be Mugdata once. And he's all-knowing in many different forms also. And he's, and then everything else in between as well.
In what?
And everything else in between. You know, that he's like, he's also Lord Ramachandra, which is a certain combination of that, or Lord Narayan, or Lord Nrisimhadev, or, and he's experiencing so many other things simultaneously.
In that verse, aha Kamsa Shukala. Srila Prabhupada says that if one actually understands the greatness of God, then you know, one will actually become attracted by his qualities and will surrender his life unrestrictedly to that person. So when I hear stuff like this, it just, although we have our glorious conception of Krishna being everything that he describes himself as being in the Bhagavad Gita, but it just, you know, really makes me think that, you know, beyond being aham adhiri devanam or brahmanam pratishtaham or, you know, what is it? Vidhi sarv, what is it? I'm in everybody's words.
Sparvasajaham.
Yeah. Or aham savasajaho or you know, the whole material from like, you quoted the verse this morning when we were driving over, 7th chapter. So he says, you know, that's like one perspective of seeing, but then another perspective of seeing is that he's like just the most real of all real persons who is just, you know, willing to throw himself into love and give anything, you know, just for sharing love with everybody. It's just like obsessed with love. The person obsessed with love.
Except that generally when we speak to people, preach, the qualification, you can't understand this other nature unless you understand the first one. Unless you have full, unflinching faith that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You just can't go into this other realm. Otherwise, then it'll degrade. You get misunderstood. Still, we should hear about this to increase our desire, and we should really cultivate our knowledge of Krishna's divinity. And then naturally, it sort of grows as the creature of devotion grows and flowers, then they come.
And then on the point of Umada, I remember reading Chaitanya Charitamrita that Lord Chaitanya would be hankering in the mood of the perfect form of devotee Srimati Radharani. And then he would see Krishna, and then he would become completely internal, and those would be the, I guess, the times when he would fall into the ocean. Is that correct? Like fall into the ocean, or fall into the cow shed, or you know, his limbs would pull up inside of his body like a turtle, or become elongated the way that it was. And
I mean, just that picture, no one painted that picture, but it's frightening. You know,
the turtle?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's I actually saw a picture like that one time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, some Indian picture like that I saw.
And if you think of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu like that, there's also some mention somewhere that Srimati Radharani exhibits the same thing.
Pardon?
But Srimati Radharani exhibits the same thing. Because the priest is eternal associates. Not to speak of ordinary people.
It's like when he fell into the ocean that time, then they've been looking for him all night long. And they became
morose at the end of the night because they figured that, you know, they couldn't find them. And they figured that he had actually ended his pastimes. And so everybody was very sad. And then they found the fisherman. And the fisherman was exhibiting the symptoms of a person who'd been around Lord Chaitanya. And he was really mad. So he explained that he had... What did he say? He said he'd caught a ghost or a dead body.
Dead body that was haunted by a ghost.
Okay, he caught a dead body that was haunted by a ghost. And then sort of Damodar said, well, I'm a very famous exorcist. And so then he just like slapped him across his face. And then he said, where's the body? And they went there and they found Lord Chaitanya's body, and it is described that it was like absolutely like white. You know, it was like so pale, and maybe that was
bleached out by the ocean.
And he was absolutely...
He was down by Connacht. I don't know if you ever drove down to Connacht.
Yeah, it's pretty far distant. So then... They started chanting Hare Krishna. Then he started coming back, and when he was like coming back from being like totally internal, he sort of like came to a position where he just started speaking this unmada or different types of prajalpa, and he just started speaking like a mad person. And I mean, it's like sometimes you meet like a person who's mad, you know. I mean, our temples are full of them. But, you know, it's like, la, 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 la. And he started, and then when he was coming back from that, then he said, did I say anything strange? was I speaking anything strange?
I was
senses, what? Talking like this. Everything else is Maya.
Take the dust from the feet of the women among
Nanda Maharaj's village and I bathe in that dust.
And then
Chattopadhyay says, you have to bathe in the dust of the Vrijavasa's lotus feet in order to be able to get that type of very extraordinary type of love.
And then just the thought that came to mind. Ramananda Roy, he tells, he cites the verse that Krishna Bhavita, what is it?
Krishna Bhakti Bhavarasa.
He says, pure devotional service and Krishna consciousness cannot be attained by the performance of pious activities and millions of person deaths. There is only one price to pay for attaining that, and what that is lolyam, or eagerness, and if it's available any place it should be purchased immediately. So then the example that you just gave, you know, of Uddhava saying that he bathes himself with the dust, then, you know, the question may arise, how is it that one will attain lolyam? If lolyam is the key for entering into the spiritual world, then how does one attain the lolyam? And it seems that, you know, the only correct answer would be, as Srila Prabhupada would say, to follow in the wake, as he would say, the wake of the service mood of the young damsels of Vrindavan.
I follow those who follow them. And then Buddha says, Aho charanre hujusham hum sham vinda naim guru mahato shadidam. And that's it. Take birth in vinda. This creeper banks of Krishna Shiva.
Guru malata. Guru malata.
And promises the same thing. When Buddha says, only take birth in Vrindavan, or Brahma says, only take birth in some like edge of Vrindavan.
And also, I think Uddhava says he wants to take birth in Vrindavan as the creeper, so that he can get the dust of the gopis' feet. And I don't think Brahma says, I don't think he mentions about the dust of the feet.
No, I remember he said probably he's more indirect. He doesn't think himself that qualified. He came from being, I think he's saying that as a consequence of committing offenses. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It wasn't offensive. He had a higher attitude. He could ask to take birth in Vrindavan, but it's a free bird. Brahma was just on the edge of Vrindavan.
So Brahma's offense was what to do with the cowherd boys and the calves, or something else?
Yeah, and Krishna. Krishna. That's the move.
Pardon?
That's the move of the mentality you try to cultivate. That's why when Mujitana says Trinadapi, this is the type of Trina we want to be. Like what Brahma says, like Buddha says.
Oh. That type of straw? Or insignificance?
Mm-hmm. Thank you, sir.